everyone, and welcome to the Catholic Journey podcast. My name is Kristen Bothy, and today's episode is about not feeling God's presence in times of trial. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Catholic Journey podcast. My name is Kristen Bothy, and our episode today is about not feeling God's presence during times of trial. So I was on a Catholic website. Well, it was a Facebook group, and they were talking about Mother Teresa and how she had not felt God's presence in most of her life, but she still was very faithful. So in my life, I've had some times of trial where I just feel like God has totally abandoned me. And there was one such instance when my youngest was really little, and I have postpartum depression very horribly. I don't ever want to hurt my children, but I always want to hurt myself. And so the last time with my third baby, I was not seeing any kind of counselors or anything. I did take some medicine, but it really wasn't for what I had. So things got really difficult, and I had to go into a mental health center, which was a really good experience for me because I was so lost. It was like the last step. It was really hard for my entire family and extremely hard on my husband, especially. It was just a really scary time, and I remember in that whole time of my life, I felt God had totally abandoned me, that he was not there anymore at all. And it really scared me. And I think that was one of the reasons why I just didn't want to be there. I just didn't want to be here in the world. I considered myself too wimpy to commit suicide, but I did want to hurt myself. In any way, like whether that be like banging my head on the wall, or I actually used my wedding ring, to scrape my skin. It was a really, really hard time for me. It's really not that hard for me to talk about, surprisingly. I know a lot of people don't like to share their mental health issues, but I kind of feel like that is something that God gave me the ability to be very open. Sometimes it's a bad thing. People don't want to know everything, you know. But in other times of mental health issues, it's good to get the word out there that people are not all alone in this. After I heard that about Mother Teresa, I had read that in a book. They have all these really good books, like Who Was Mother Teresa? Who Was Albert Einstein? They're kids' books, but they have really good information in them if you want a quick read about someone's life. So I got one about Mother Teresa last year, and I was reading it to my daughter, but she fell asleep, so I just continued to read the entire book. And it was really interesting, and I remember reading that Mother Teresa had, I guess she had spoken to God, or God had spoken to her, and that she had felt this, you know, pull from God to go and do what she did in Calcutta. And then I remember reading that she lost that feeling of the presence of God, and for years and years, she felt like he had abandoned her. But she still was faithful and did what I'm assuming what he had told her to do. She was faithful. But she also had no feeling of that. So I think that says a lot about Mother Teresa. It's a sad thing that that happened to her, and that was, someone had mentioned in this group, her cross to bear, which is, I kind of consider my depression, my anxiety, all of those things, my cross to bear, because it will always be there. But the cross that Mother Teresa bared for Jesus, still doing exactly what he wanted her to do, even though she didn't feel his presence at all, that just shows her strength and her faith. She did lose faith. She wrote to Reverend Michael Vanderpeet, yes. And she wrote some letters to him. She wanted them to be destroyed. She didn't want anyone to know that these were her feelings. She wanted Reverend Vanderpeet to pray for her. So these letters said, it was really sad. because she knew that Jesus had a special love for everyone else. And she wasn't sure for herself. So in one of the letters, she said, Jesus has a special love for you. But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but does not speak. I want you to pray for me, that I let him have a free hand. So I think that's almost making me tearful reading it. Just the emptiness of feeling like she looks, doesn't see, listens, but doesn't hear anything. And she prays, but it's not really, she says her tongue does not speak. It prays, but does not speak, which I'm assuming she's saying that her words are not reaching God. That's kind of what she feels like. And then she also says, I felt no presence of God, neither in my heart or in the Eucharist. She doubted the existence of heaven or God, and she wanted no one to know that. And the reason was she didn't want anyone else to lose faith. She had this horrible cross to bear of thinking that God had forgotten her, basically. And then she even questioned the existence of heaven and God. Even though she went through with everything she did, she was so poor, and she healed, her miracle was she prayed for someone who had cancer, and then they were healed. That's what I read in the book. I'm not sure if that's absolutely sure, like, positive. But I think her faith was from her vision of she was talking to Jesus on the cross. And that was where her faith was like, okay, God is real. But then he disappeared. At least she felt that he disappeared for the rest of her life, basically. I think she had like two different visions or visitations from Jesus. And that, for me, okay, so in my life, when I'm having happy times, good times, you know, everything, God is there, God is great, he's wonderful, this is the best. But then when I have a time of trial, like when I had to go to the mental health center, I was like, God's not here, he's totally abandoned me, nothing's ever going to be good anymore. That's my brain tricking me into thinking, I have never been happy. I cannot remember the last time that I felt God was in my life. I can't remember this. You know, every time I'm in a deep depression, I feel like I have never felt good, and I can't make myself feel better. And it's not necessarily from anything that happened, because my dad passed away, and I still was able to function. I didn't get into a deep depression. And that was an instance where that's like incidental, what do they call it? An event causes a depression. But my depression is, it comes no warning, and it's not for any specific reason. So that is true depression, where you are not going to come out of this with a change of something in the atmosphere. So like, I remember I was in a very deep depression 1 year, and I told my husband, I love Disney World. Like, I'm a Disney freak. So when I told my husband we could go to Disney World tomorrow and I would still be depressed, I would still not feel any joy there, because I have something, there is something mentally wrong with me. There is no kind of event or anything like that that triggers this depression. it can be triggered from outside instances in certain cases, but my dad passed away, and this is an example. I didn't go into a deep depression. It was an event that would have triggered something, but I didn't. But there are other times in my life where I have had depressive episodes from nothing. My life could be perfect. Everything's going swimmingly, and it just comes out. So I suggest if anyone's having any kind of feelings like that, there's nothing you can do other than see a mental health specialist. And I honestly, truthfully, I hated taking medicine. I barely ever took headache medicine before I started the medications I'm on. But for my children and my husband, I had to do something about it. There's no way that I could go on with life making everyone suffer. And everyone thinks when they're in that, oh, it's just me. It's all me, me, me. And you're so selfish feeling. Like your brain cannot think about anyone else's feelings about this depression. And that's another trick that your brain makes. And then also, I think that when you have this medication in your system, if you have anything mentally wrong with you, that really it's so worth it. It is so worth it. And I don't know why I waited so many years. I had terrible depression. I had anxiety before I got married. I had horrible depression after my son, and I went on like one medication and I felt better. My second daughter, I was fine. My third daughter, I was torn apart. I don't know what exactly it was at that time. But then I actually started seeing, after I went to the mental health center and I stayed there for 5 whole days, and I was at the point in my life where, that sounds terrifying to me right now, but at the point in my life, it was either that or death. And I chose that for my husband and my children. So after that, I finally started seeing a psychiatrist. My medication was monitored. We tried different medications when the certain ones were not working. And he's a really good psychiatrist, and he listens to everything I say, and he takes into account what I say. He uses his medical expertise, of course, because, you know, he can't just let someone do whatever they want and, you know, get sick and hurt. But if I'm telling him that I feel like I'm still upset and everything, he doesn't just send me home and say, oh, fine. He will work with my medications. He does ask me how I'm doing. But the person I really talk to, I have a therapist. She's like a counselor. And that's the person that I actually discuss my issues with. So that's kind of helpful in that aspect. But it's so worth it to take care of yourself. And I know people are like, oh, I have no time. Oh, I can't take care of myself. This is an absolute necessity. I brought my children to my psychiatry appointments. I brought them to my counseling appointments when I had to. I did anything that I could. I mean, I tried my best. Usually they would try to put them in a separate room or do something where they weren't hearing all of the things I was saying. But it was so important for me to be there and take care of myself at that point that I brought them with me if I had no other option. So I'm digressing big time. But I just wanted to, I really do empathize with what Mother Teresa's saying. She obviously was seeing a lot of sickness and death and starvation and things like that and poverty. So she was seeing something very extremely different than what I went through, of course. Like what I went through sounds like a piece of cake. But the feeling of no God being there, just doing these things and keeping the faith even though you don't feel like there's a heaven or a God, truly shows the strength of Mother Teresa and how she is a saint. Saints go through many trials, and I feel like that's one of her biggest trials. On the article that I was reading, it said something about how Mother Teresa was one of the only saints that had that total absence of God feeling in their life. And I thought, man, that has got to be so hard to continue to do this work. And it's so difficult. And she, you know, when she was this nun where she had to leave her family and not see them again. And that is scary in itself. But then later feeling like God is not even there and I left my family. I left my family for God and I will never see them again. And God is not there. That is so awful and terrifying for me. But it shows us how we can push through. Even when God, we feel like he has abandoned us, we can still push through and do what we need to do because we know the true word of God and we know what he wants from us. And that is really the whole idea of being a Christian, is keeping faith even though you're not seeing things, even though you don't see God necessarily. There are people who have visions of God and visions of Mary, and I feel like they're so blessed, and I would love to have that. But that's not God's plan for everyone. Some people he wants to just have the faith. Most people he wants to have faith, even though he might not show you any signs, there might not be any visions, you might not have a specific feeling, warmth in your heart. There are a lot of people who go to, a lot of Protestants who go to church, Catholics too, just a lot of Christians, who go to churches, and if they don't feel warm and fuzzy in their heart every single time they go to a sermon, they want to switch to a different church. But that's not necessarily what's going to, you know, work out for you. You're not going to go every single time to church and feel like the homily just speaks to your heart so deeply. That's just not reality. I mean, all of the different things that priests say speak to different people in different ways. So you're not going to hear like a certain sermon and it feels like, oh, it speaks just to me. Sometimes I do feel that. Sometimes I feel like God has got me there and telling me. You know, there was one time where the priest was saying, you're going to have these times where God is telling you to do something. And you don't want to listen. You don't want to do it because it's not something that's comfortable. And that's exactly how I felt about my husband's vasectomy reversal. I felt like there's absolutely no reason that I want to do this. I don't want to have any more children. And I feel like this is just not necessary. I already repented of this. And I just want to let it go. But it just kept coming back to me. And things we do are not necessarily easy. And God asks us to do things all the time, especially the more faithful we get, that we just don't want to. Like, for instance, I should just make a whole episode on this, but I stopped going to Starbucks because I had read, I love Starbucks. It's so good. But a friend had shared with me, and I had read this, that a percentage of every sale somehow goes to Planned Parenthood. I'm not really sure. I think it's like, the employees get money and they get to choose what they want that money to go to, and they can choose Planned Parenthood. So I'm not exactly how much of, like, if every sale goes to Planned Parenthood. It's like a workaround. It's kind of like Target and Nike and certain things that these people give to Planned Parenthood, but in this backwards way. So I found that out about Starbucks. And I was like, I can't go there anymore. And I don't go there very often at all anymore. Gosh, there's been so many times where I want it so bad, but I don't. And that's another thing. I feel God telling me, this is something that's on my heart. Not necessarily everyone else's heart. Like, if they go to Starbucks and they don't feel like God is telling them any differently. But God knows how much I love Starbucks. And it's an addiction, really. And he basically was I felt this pull to be away from that, not necessarily just because of the Planned Parenthood thing, but because of the dependency I had on this. Now, I can't say when the pumpkin spice latte comes out next week that I'm going to not have a Starbucks. I don't know. But I'm going to try my very, very hardest to stay away from it. I think it might be a Lent thing. That might be a good Lent thing to totally get off of Starbucks. So, gosh, I'm totally digressing. I'm sorry. But I think that the main thing in this episode is that we're understanding that God isn't always going to feel like that warm fuzzy in our hearts. But we should still stay faithful and do what he wants us to, because in the end, there's heaven. In the end, we will be there with Jesus in purgatory, or, I mean, hopefully we can all be saints and go to heaven, straight to heaven. But in the end, it's like parenting. You're not sitting there. You have this newborn and they're up crying, you know, all night, and you're thinking, this is not what I thought. This will never end. This will never stop. And then 5 years later, your child's in kindergarten, you know, and there's no crying and colicky and up all night. That's just not really happening anymore. In the majority of people, some people are the minority, things like that happen to them, but you just feel like you're never going to get out of that rut, and then you do, and then you just try to think back to it, and you can't even think about that feeling then. So God calls us to love him no matter what and have faith, and that is what we have to push ourselves to do. So I hope that you all have a blessed day, and that I will see you next time.